We wish to see Jesus. Is that your question on this Sunday morning? Coming to church. We wish, as parents, as grandparents, as families, we wish to see Jesus. So it was with the psalmist. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. We wish to see Jesus. Congregation is not just for preachers to do this, to speak about Jesus so that he might be seen and encountered by all those that hear it. But are we not called also this morning for this new week? Called by the Lord to make Jesus, to make him known in a way we live. When you speak with people that are maybe different from you in confession or race or nation, but do they see Jesus in you? When you are called to serve, also in this community, do the people see Jesus? Or when you are hurt or offended, do people see love and forgiveness, and they think of Jesus? Is your life, is my life, is it seen in our life that he, Christ, Jesus, he must increase, but I decrease? What we see is when we consider the gospel according to John in chapter 12, where Christ speaks about himself. And in doing that, he speaks about us, about you and me. And he speaks about himself, particularly in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. It is Christ's word, a word that speaks of death and love. It speaks of dying and loving. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to consider these words with you this morning. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And three observations through three main thoughts related to these text words. In the first place, a simple question. A simple question. In the second place, a surprising answer. And in the third place, how Christ's word ought to transform us. There's three brief main thoughts, a simple question, a surprising answer, and how Christ's word ought to transform us. The simple question is this: we wish to see Jesus. That is what the Greeks at the Passover feast asked Philip. And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. So we read in verse 22. And yes, there has been a considerable, say, discussion and debate among scholars as to just who these Greeks are in John's gospel. It may that they not only represent the whole world, but they stand in contest with the Pharisees, who did see the growing influence of Jesus, or that it points to that Jesus is king not only for the Jews, but also king of Israel, but king of the Greeks and the Gentiles, and king of the rest of the world? Or some have argued that those Greeks, they came from a Greek city as near to Decapolis, Bethsaida in Galilee. Or that those Greeks were God-fearing people, as John writes, and they went up to worship at the feast. Whatever the situation is and whatever their case, their question is, we wish we would see Jesus. To experience, to see, to be in the presence of Jesus. And again, that is then the question for all of us. Is that your question, our question? What brings you to church this morning at the close of the summer season? What gets us to church each Sunday? In the business of our life, of family life, of maybe for some times of loneliness, or the cares and concerns and the challenges that you have brought into church this morning. Or maybe you came this morning out of curiosity. Or maybe there are sorrows and shadows in your life. And the times that you open your Bible and you pray, is it we wish to see Jesus, to be in his presence, to come to church also this morning to reorient your life to him? We wish to see Jesus, just these Greeks. We don't know their names. We don't know how many they were. We don't know much of anything about them. And maybe there is one this morning, but with this question. They are right here in Chilliwack, right here in our communities, right here in our province and our nation in this world. But congregation, can they come to the Phillips and the Andrews of the church? Are we approachable? Are we accessible? Do we have time for people that ask, even in the midst of the congregation, and ask you, we wish to see Jesus? Are we a welcoming community with this building that the Lord has provided? Are we an inviting community for people that have questions in this community? And it is the question, they want to see Jesus. Do we bring them before the Lord as Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus to see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one then that can meet the deep need of your heart? Can people tell, can people see that you have been with Jesus? And so they want to be with Jesus. And when Moses came down from the mount with a shining face, he could not hide the fact that he had been with the Lord. And so, congregation, if we spend much time with the Lord, we cannot and we will not want to hide the fact that we have been with Jesus. Because remember, sin and selflessness and worldliness in the life of us and the life of the believer will tend to hide the Lord Jesus Christ from the view of others. We wish to see Jesus. is een simpel, and yet I think a deep question, a profound question. Is that what you brought to church this morning? The second place, a surprising answer. And Jesus answered them, that starts in verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And Jesus answered with verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. A surprising answer, not so much by Christ saying, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth. These Greeks, in fact, may have been familiar with a Greek feast, a cultic feast. The desire of rebirth that was expressed in the symbol of the cult, grain. And the high point of the celebration of that feast, and that Greek feast, was that an ear of grain was cut in silence, which represented the force of new life. But the surprise of the answer lies herein, that Christ is speaking about himself. A truth, an unexpected truth about himself. This, the way to glory is through death. Do you want to see that? It is as where Christ said, I indeed will bear much fruit, indicating you will be saved and the Greeks will be saved and all that believe in me by grace will be saved. But this is what I want them to see. To see me dying. To see me bearing fruit. And in the context of these words, it is just before Christ's crucifixion in this passage. Christ set his sight on the cross. And it helps us to understand and grasp this reality. Why it is so important that he died. That he shows us, not only then, but also this morning, that his death as a means of his love for sinners, for a people such as you and me. In his love that he left a place of glory. As the apostle writes in the epistle to the Galatians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. As the apostle continued, that he was born in our likeness, that he humbled himself, pierced for our transgressions, as Isaiah wrote, crushed for our iniquities. It's personal, eh? It's very personal. It's not a general statement that he humbled himself and pierced for the transgressions of his people or for the elect. No, pierced for our transgressions. Was crushed for our iniquities. Have you seen your transgressions? Have you seen your sin? Have you seen your iniquities? That it was Christ who became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is where that Christ says this morning, in dying on the cross, in his obedience to the Father, in his passive obedience, meaning Christ took the penalty you and I deserved. And he died the death that you and I should have died. In his active obedience, meaning Christ lived the life that you and I should have lived. Or as the administration, the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper so fittingly and so beautifully said, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, where he suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded and confused, where he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted of the judgment seat of God, where he suffered his blessed body to be nailed, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and that he's taken upon himself the curse due to us, so that he may fill us with his blessings. When he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of Christ on the cross, dying as a grain of wheat. When was it the last time that you looked at the cross of Christ? Congregation, Christ on the cross declares how dire our condition is apart from Jesus. It tells us, it shows us how deep sin goes. How profound the rebellion is. Yes, we can sit nice in church. It's a blessing. But ever been discovered how deep sin goes? Apart from him, apart from Jesus, apart from Christ, there is nothing that we can do, no effort we can extend. If you discover that, to seek your life outside yourself, it lies so firm in Christ. The cross, Christ on the cross, it says to us this morning, you are more sinful than you ever imagined. But it also says, and that is the gospel of this morning, it also says, you are more loved than you ever could dream. With Christ on the cross, dying as a grain of wheat. Jonathan Edwards writes about it. Christ's sorrows abounded, but his love did much more abound. Christ's soul overwhelmed with the deluges of grief, but this was from the flood of love to sinners in his heart, sufficient to overflow the world and overwhelm the highest mountain of sin. Christ's drops of blood, says Edwards, that fell down on the ground were a manifestation of an ocean of love in Christ's heart. His love for you and me abounds. His love is sufficient for the highest mountain of sin in your and my life. The sins of the past, in his love, they have been forgiven and forgotten. The sins of the present that you are struggling so much with. Maybe in this past week, a mountain of sin. His love, Christ's love, is sufficient. His love is an ocean of love for a people that cannot even keep one of his commandments. O congregation, in Christ on the cross, dying as a wheat, a grain of wheat, we receive peace and pardon, but also love and delight. We wish to see Jesus. Seeing such a love of a dying Savior, seeing his death for sinners, for such ones as you and me. Congregation, that is, as John Bunyan, that is an experience when the Lord shows you that, even this morning. But it's an experience what John Bunyan so vividly writes in Pilgrim's Progress. He came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. And so I saw in my dream, just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back and begin to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. As Bunyan writing, grace abounding to the chief of sinners, I remember that one day, and was considering my enmity that was in me to God. And that scripture came to mind, that he made peace through the blood of his cross, by which I was made to see both again and again that day that God and my soul were friends by this blood. Yes, I saw the justice of God and my sinful soul, but I could embrace and kiss each other through his blood. That was a good day for me. That was a good day for me. And I hope I shall not forget it. His blood that cleanses of all your sins. I hope you shall never forget it when you see Jesus. When you see Jesus. Congregation, should that not transform us? Should that not transform us? Seeing such a great love of the dying Savior for such a people as we are. In the third place, a third observation, how Christ's word ought to transform us. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When Christ speaks about himself here, he also speaks about us, about you and me. Whoever loves his life, loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Saving the life and losing the life are figures of speech. And in the context of these words, it is clear that losing one's life means denying oneself, taking up your cross, yes, and follow Jesus on the path of suffering. loving life by losing it. A life of self-denial, where he increases and I decreases. Is a life by grace a life of serving? Is a life of following him, having your identity in him, Christ and in him alone. Follow me, says Christ. Die to yourself. Dying to yourself as a means of love. And yes, theologically we can say if you are a Christian, you have already died. But the Lord calls you to die daily. Serve me, says Christ. Christ who came did not come to be served, but to serve. As Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Supremely loved by his Father, he left heaven for earth to bring a people such as you and me from earth to heaven, to himself. And therefore, does the Lord ask us this morning too much? Are we truly servants? This is the radical call of the gospel. But to be served by Jesus as we serve others. And if we do, that we show Christ to the world. He who was born in our likeness. But do we see the people around us, the people that we meet, also here in Fraser Valley, an homeless one, or a single struggling divorced man or woman, or a widow or a widower, or someone with hurt or anger? Do we see that person created in God's image, not any better than you and me, also in need of salvation, in need of Christ, the Savior, as we need it as well? But remember, Christ is in all of this not just a model, an example, but he is a Savior, a substitute. And therefore, does the Lord ask us too much this morning to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking, seeing Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? To whom else shall you then go? To whom else shall you go this morning with your sins and your shortcomings? With maybe your challenges and cares and concerns facing your life and bringing in and brought in this morning in church? To whom else shall you go when you have to deal with criticism and failures? Are we still scrambling for reputation or approval? Or do you still look for significance or importance? Or is it this, the Protestant church this morning? We want to see Jesus. Looking at the cross of Christ, inviting with outstretched arms also this morning. Look to him. Don't look to yourself, who we are in ourselves, but who you are by grace, who we are in him. As Christ looks at you, this dying, suffering Christ, as a grain of wheat dying, but such a willing, such an able, such a loving Savior. As Christ sees you right now, maybe in the business of our life, maybe in the business of your family life, but he invites at the close of the summer season, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. And he sees you, maybe in your loneliness, and he offers, and he promises, there is a place with me. He who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have sorrows and shadows in life, he who humbled himself, he who lowered himself to meet you where you are right now. The prophet Isaiah wrote, he bears your grief and he carries your sorrows, whatever it is. Christ from the cross this morning sees your challenges and your cares and concerns and invites you this morning, cast it, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your cares on him, because, and that is the problem, he cares for you. With Christ on the cross, we wish to see Jesus. Congregation, it presents mercy and grace. It provides comfort and hope. And it provokes courage and faith. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now himself and him alone. Oh, seeing Jesus, it offers a safe anchor for the storms of life. It offers perseverance for the battles of life. With seeing Jesus, it provides patience for the cares of life, and it offers strength for the burdens of life. Seeing Jesus, it provides light for the shadows of life and extends hope for the end of life. To see him one day as he is, face to face. Seeing such a dying, willing, loving Savior. When this morning, when you survey that wondrous cross, does that not give you to pause, but also to praise? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless thy word to each of our hearts. Whatever condition we have listened to thy word, will grant that we have heard thy word. And that we truly have seen Jesus. Lord, grant by grace once again that looking to thee will transform us also for the week that lies before us. That it is in school, that it is at work, but that it might be seen that we have been and that we are in the presence of Jesus. So Lord, we'll remember us the furnace of this day, that it might be a truly a Shabbat, a day of rest, and the rest in thee. We ask these things in the forgiveness of our sins, both in speaking and in listening, but for Christ's sake alone. Amen.